Man, I'm going to move on because I could talk about that all day long. So while you are standing, go ahead and grab your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, whatever it is that you use to read from the Word of God. And if you can, turn to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to start us off at verse 30, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say. Man, first of all, thank you all for coming out. And can I say, can we give all of the fathers in the house a big round of applause? Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. Wow, thank you all for being the fathers that you are and standing up and supporting and protecting and providing for your family. So thank God for good fathers. Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 30. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. It starts off by saying, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Please highlight that. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and they beat him and they went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that same road. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. The text says that likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are, God. Thank you for our time together on Father's Day, God. God, we know above all that you are our good Father. And so, God, we just thank you for and we honor fathers on this day. And so as we come, God, to fellowship around your word in this sermon series about living generously, I pray, God, that this word today fall on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts, so that this word today, God, about living generously with our time will fall and bring back a harvest. And so, God, here I stand asking you to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so we just give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Amen. And I know you thought I forgot, but can we put our... I know it. You was like, man, he forgot this time. No, I did not. So can we read our mission statement with fire, fervency, and with enthusiasm on three? One, two, three. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Can you give yourselves a hand clap of praise as you take your seats? Today, as we continue this sermon series on living generously, the sermon title for today is More Than Money. More Than Money. And the sermon idea that I have for us today is this, is that living generously involves more than just money. It also involves our time, our talent, and our relationships. And the good thing about time is, the good thing is that I want you to understand is that you can lose money and it can be replaced. You can lose a car and it can be replaced. You can even lose your home due to fire or even foreclosure, but it can be replaced. But there's one thing that can't be replaced, and that is time. The most precious gift that we have that God has given all of us that's on this side of the dirt is time. And when we give our time to someone and we take time out for someone, that time can never be replaced. It's gone forever. And the value that we place on our time tells a lot about us as believers. And for each of us, there are moments that we face that puts us at a crossroads with our time. Just like when we live generously with our money, it puts us at this crossroad of, do I give it or do I keep it in my pocket? And there are moments when we face that we're at the crossroads of living generously with our time, our talents, our relationships, our resources, and even our resolve. And so today, as we started out to read, we're looking at a very familiar story. And we know it as the story of the Good Samaritan. And today, I hope that I can shed some light on this story, because I say this all the time, the more familiar the story, the more sometimes we lose the principle or we lose what God is trying to teach us from these very familiar stories. And so sometimes we have to look at these stories with a fresh eye and from a fresh view. And so the one thing that I've come to find out about this text is that when we first read, it opened up, it says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And you have to understand the words that Luke used, it's very descriptive, but it doesn't give you the real picture. And so what you have to do is you have to dive in just a little bit more to find out. And what you'll find out is this road that this man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was a very dangerous road. So dangerous, in fact, that this road was nicknamed the Way of Blood. And it earned the nickname because this dangerous, isolated road was the perfect setup for someone to be robbed. And this was this road was a road that they used for traveling to bring commerce back and forth. And so it was a well-traveled road, but it was a very dangerous road. It's just like some of us today, if we're out in a place that we haven't traveled before, and it just looks like, man, it's just nothing out there. And so this road was a very hilly road, and it had caves, and it had different places, and it was in a dry place. And so Jesus begins to tell this story, but this story actually starts, go up to verse 25. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. He said, teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied to him, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, right. Do this, and you will live. Look at verse number 29. It says, the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus this question. He says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And so we come to verse 30, and we see Jesus replies, and he begins to tell this man the story. I mean, he begins to tell this religious lawyer a story. And so he says, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he says, as he was traveling, he was accosted, and he was beaten, and he was left for dead. And he says, a priest walked by, stopped, looked at the man, and moved to the other side. And he continues on with the story. He says, not only did a priest come by, but he said a Levite came down the same road. And he looked and he moved to the other side. Here's the thing that I really want to point out and make sure that you understand in this story that Jesus is telling. The first two people that sees the man is a priest and a Levite. It's the preacher and a staff member. I'm just going to let that sink in right there. A priest walks by and goes to the other side. And a Levite does the same thing. And so this leads me to my first point, is what happened when we are faced with unforeseen ministry moments. What happens when we encounter unforeseen, and I was wanting to change this word to unscheduled ministry moments? Because see, I think the easy thing for us to do is, we can do scheduled fine. Some of us can be here at church on time. That just went over somebody's head. Some of us, we can do the scheduled ministry right. We can be at church on time. We can be at rehearsal on time. We can come and be at life groups on time. We can come to prayer on time. But what happens to those when you're faced with those unforeseen ministry moments? What happens when you're traveling down this dangerous, difficult road called life and you encounter someone that is in need of being ministered to? Not just physically, but what happens when you encounter someone on this dangerous, difficult road that we call life that needs spiritual ministry? What happens on those times? Do we just chalk it up to, oh, you know, it's unsafe out here, so I can't talk to anyone that I don't know. I have to be somewhere at a certain time so I can't stop and aid and assist someone who God may have put in your path for a ministry moment. What happens during those times? When you're at work and someone starts talking to you and you can tell that they need someone to talk to, but you're so caught up on your phone with TikTok and Instagram that you won't take the time to minister to them. To see how you can help aid and assist them in their time of need. Or are we going to be like the priest who leads the church, who was probably coming down the same path and having just served at church? And you know how it is on a Sunday after church. What are most of us trying to do? Well, I'll speak for me. I'm trying to get home so I can what? Take a nap. And if you get in between this church, 287, and my exit, I'm sorry, I probably won't stop to help you. I'm real. But what happens when we're faced with these unforeseen ministry moments? And are we so focused on ourselves that we neglect an opportunity to do ministry? It might not be someone who's physically hurt. There's a lot of hurting people in this world. And we have what they need, but if it doesn't happen on the scheduled time, on our scheduled time, then we pass by on the other side, which is called the safe side. And a lot of us are spending so much time on the other side, on the safe side. Oh, if you don't fit in my schedule, I can't help you. If it's not between this time and this time, I'm sorry, you are just out of luck. God will send someone else. And the text says that the Levite and the priest went to the other side. And it's this other side that has really been stirred up in my heart as I've been studying this. God, what is this other side? And this other side is the safe side, but then it's also a separate side. It separates. I'm going to let you think about that one. What's the other side for you? What's the safe side for you? But here's the thing that we must understand is that living generously means taking time to help others, even if it's inconvenient. Even if it's inconvenient. How we spend our time, how generous we are with our time. Are we generous only when it's convenient, or are we generous when it's inconvenient? So let's keep reading. Verse 33. It says, then a despised Samaritan came along. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And if you're if you're reading the Bible and you just read over it, or you're trying to get through it in a year, sometimes we have to slow down to really find out what. I ask myself this question all the time. God, why did you use that word? Why did you use despise? He could have used any other word, but why did you use despised? And several translations use that word. Then a despised Samaritan came along to help paint this picture for you, to help color it in. Why Jesus is using this story to teach this religious lawyer something. The word despised is because Jews vehemently hated Samaritans. I mean, despised Samaritans. So much so that a Jew would not even walk through Samaria. They hated them so much that if they had to go 15 miles out of the way to not go through Samaria, they would. And the feeling was mutual. Samaritans didn't like Jews either. In John chapter 4, it tells a story, and the significance of the story in John chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. It said Jesus had to go through, and the reason that's there is because Jesus is introducing that he came for not just Jews, but he came for everyone. And so when this text says that a despised Samaritan came along, it really meant that Jews did not like Samaritans. And he says he came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil, wine, and bandaged him. You might want to underline that. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him this: take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I am here. My second point is that generosity is shown by actions and not the words we speak. Generosity is an action word. You see, the priest and the Levite talked about generosity at church or in the temple. But the people that they despised the most, when faced with an unforeseen ministry opportunity, the Samaritan took action. And I'm asking myself, why would the Samaritan rearrange his plans to help an enemy in need? Don't raise your hand, but who in here has enemies? All right, I'll be the guinea pig. If you saw somebody that you despised in need, remember, you're in church. We're worshiping God. We're in the presence of God. I don't want any fire to come down because we so answer this question. Take some time to really think about this. If you had a history of hating this enemy, anybody have any enemies that you hated for just a long time? Okay, I'm gonna see if I can bring this home. Anybody have an ex? Yeah, ooh. Ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-girlfriend. And you're in Kroger's. And you witness them being hit by a car. And the driver of the car just drives off. And you're like, oh my God, that's. How many here would be willing to really help your ex in the time of need? Don't show your hand. I see the smiles on your face. Like, not in a million years, Pastor. Don't say nothing. Don't stop smiling because you're giving yourself away. But that's funny, but that's what the Samaritan is faced with. And the Bible says that without hesitation, that he saw him and he immediately went into action. Why would a Samaritan rearrange his plans to help an enemy? The Bible tells us he felt compassion. And I think for some of us, man, as I look around this world, as I see posts and stuff on the internet, man, compassion is like one of the least shown emotions at this time that I've ever seen in my life. It's like we take pleasure in trolling people or groups. And there's one passage of scripture that God is really helping me with as I'm faced with these same things. And the passage of scripture says that in all thy getting, getting understanding. And when you encounter people or as you walk through life, when you begin to try to understand people, not agree, not agree, but just understand. Why? Because all of us have a story. All of us have a story. And you don't know how you listening to that person's story and you being able to tell them the story that you have and then tell them God's story along the way, you never know what's going to happen. But do we feel compassion for just humanity? Or has religion and politics and different groups segregated us so much so now to where we can't feel compassion for nobody? If you don't agree with me, if you don't run in the same circles as I do, if you don't live in the same neighborhood I live in, if you don't speak the same language I speak, I have no time for you. But God has called us to this life of living generously with our time, and in our time, we're showing compassion to others. And you don't have to agree with what they do, but there still needs to be a level of compassion there. And that's what separated the most despised person from the religious person. Just because you are religious does not mean that you're compassionate. This is one thing that this text shows us. I mean, just as clear as day. You can even work in the church, be here every Sunday, and not have compassion. But here's the thing that I really want you to see that the Samaritan used. He used his time. Because how did he use his time? He stopped by when others kept going. He used his resources. The text says that he poured oil and wine and bandaged him up. And not only that, but he also got off his own donkey and put the man on his donkey. He used his time. He used his resources. And then the text also shows us that he used his relationships. It said he took him somewhere where he was familiar with. He took him to an inn that he was familiar with. And the text says that he even stayed there. And then, this is the part, he used his resolve. The text says that he took care of him and was willing to come back to help this man. Here's the question of the day. Will you use your time, your talent, your resources, your relationships, and will you have the resolve to help others? That's what generosity is. Jump down to verse 36. It says, which of these do, so Jesus is asking this religious lawyer this question. He says, which of these three do you think, underline this word, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He replied, the one who showed mercy to him. He said, Jesus told him, here's this, underline this, go and do the same. My third point is that generosity doesn't ask who is my neighbor, it asks how can I be a neighbor. If you keep going, hold on one second. Let's go back to Luke 10. So I want to show you this, and I didn't put it in my verse 30. Oh, it says it says he was trying to justify himself. That's why he asked this question. He says he was trying to justify himself, and he asked which of these proved to be his neighbor. And so, do you ask who, or do you ask how? Because the who to us should matter. If we're really and truly living generously, we're sharing our time, our talent, and our resources, the who should not matter. Because generosity and being a neighbor to someone supersedes geography, it supersedes race, and it supersedes culture. And as believers, I believe living generously defines us and shapes us as believers. And so, as I close, I want to ask you this question. How do you see this story? How do you really see this story? Because to the thieves, this Jew was a victim to be taken advantage of. And to the priest and the Levite, this Jewish man was a nuisance to avoid. But to the Samaritan, he was a neighbor to love and to assist. How do you see this story? And so I'm going to close with our prayer, the generosity prayer that we've been that I've been praying at the end of each one of these sermons. And I think they have it on the screen. God, you have blessed me in all ways, at all times, and with more than I need. Lead me to live generously and to share joyfully with others. And so that's a prayer that I want you to tuck away in your hearts to think about. And as we look at this sermon or this story of the Good Samaritan, everyone wants to believe and wants to identify with the Good Samaritan. But today, I hope that you see that you might not be the Good Samaritan right now. You could be the priest in the story. You could be the Levite in the story. And so again, my whole purpose in this sermon series is to remind some of us, to inform others, that as we follow Jesus Christ, as we name the name of Jesus Christ, we are called to live a generous life in every area of our life. Not just a tithe and an offering. Not just a check here and there. Not to casually observe others in need and drive by. But as we sang this song earlier, it says God has been faithful to us. We need to search ourselves and see if we've been found faithful in being generous with our time, our talent, our resources, and our relationships. Some of us know people right now that could help someone else change the trajectory of their lives, but we're sitting on it because we don't want to share relationships. Some of us are sitting out there and we have talent that this church or some church could use, but we're sitting on our talent because we've been hurt before, something bad has happened, somebody offended you in a church before, somebody even looked at you the wrong way. Some of us are hurt in the church because no one came to assist us when we were in need. But I have a question for you. Who have you helped? Who have you made time for? Who have you inconvenienced yourself for? And so I just want you to just take some time as I pray to search our hearts. One of the things I find myself doing, I even did this on my way to church. I asked God, I said, God, if it's anything in me that doesn't look like you, God, I want you to unearth it. I want you to shake it up. I want you to bring it to my attention. And I believe for some of us, we need to look in the mirror and have a serious talk with God for God to show us what areas of living generously where we are slacking. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for this very familiar story of the good Samaritan. God, I pray that this story unearths things in us, that it brings to the surface those things that we try to push down, God, that we try to have the audacity to try to hide from you, to try to justify, God, to try to make a case. God, I pray that our religious traditions, our religious habits, does not cause us to miss opportunities, God, where we can minister to others. God, we just thank you for the resources that you've blessed us with. And God, we pray that you open up doors, God, for us to use our time, our talent, and our resources, God, to help others. And I pray, God, that this word today, God, that we don't ask who is our neighbor, but we ask, how can I be a neighbor? So, God, I just thank you for Connect Church. Thank you for the generous people that we have here at Connect Church, God. And, God, it could be that for the generous people that are here, that you're calling us, God, to take it up a level. That we don't get comfortable, God, in the generosity that we have been showing. So, God, I just give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor for everything that this word has brought out for us today, God. And I pray that it falls on the good soil of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.